Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast.
Today I have a personal friend and sometimes co-host, John Galloway, who is a technical evangelist at Microsoft focused on ASP.NET. John, how are you?
I'm doing great today. How are you, Jesse?
Is it okay that I described you as a friend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that'll work. I didn't want to presume. So you and I had Mary Jo Foley on talking about Build. And what I thought would be great today would be to try to, A, dive a little bit more deeply technically, and also, B, to try to differentiate some of these different technologies that we've been discussing and build a mental roadmap of the various pieces.
Mm-hmm. Sounds fun.
Great. Let's start with Azure Mobile Services. As I understand it, even though you focus on ASP.NET, am I right that you're part of the Azure group?
Yeah, that's true. So, you know, it still is confusing for a lot of people. Azure started as something very separate from the web team. And then now when Scott Guthrie moved into the Azure organization, he brought along with him ASP.NET, IIS. And, you know, there's also like what was in WCF was separate. Now that's part of Web API, and that's very much part of the ASP.NET group. And so I really kind of think of all the web platform stuff as falling inside of Azure. So that's a lot of the time when I'll describe what I do. I say I work on a technical evangelist for ASP.NET because, you know, people get kind of thrown off thinking, I don't know.
No, I understand. Thinking it, yeah. Because and it's the first approximation, Azure is about web storage. I know that's no longer true. That's too narrow a definition. But, you know, that's, I think, kind of when you first think of Azure, you think about web storage as opposed to ASP.NET, where you think about hosting programming and coding.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that it's great for them all to be part of this one group because really the idea is, you know, ASP.NET is a great web platform. When you build a web site, you need to host it somewhere. And Azure is a great place to host it, but, you know, as well, it's great on IIS. So it's kind of nice for all those things to work well together.
Makes sense. So let's talk about mobile web services, because I walked away from the keynote on the second day with that as a key technology.
Yeah, I think that's really kind of a sleeper technology. I don't think people paid enough attention to it when it was first announced. And it's partly because the name is a little deceptive. I can't think of a better name for it. But I think a lot of the time you hear Azure Mobile Services and you think, okay, that's something I'm going to use from my phone to do something or other. I'm not really sure. And the idea is, I mean, the key value of it is, you know, if you're building a mobile app, so something on, you know, Windows Phone or, you know, iOS or Android or whatever, and you need to store that information somewhere, it's really limiting to just keep it locally on the phone or a mobile device. And you really kind of want to sync that and back that up in the cloud, you know, put it on a server somewhere. But you don't want to bother necessarily with spinning up a server just to run that. So you can think of a lot of different scenarios, something as simple as like a to-do list, you know, where I add something to my to-do list and then, you know, later I can look up on a browser anywhere and that information is there.
But that information is there on a per-user basis, is that right?
Per-user, yeah, that's a very key value of this, is that it handles all that authentication and per-user stuff.
Well, you and I worked very hard, you especially, in building per-user authentication for our full-stack application. It sounds like this would really solve the problem.
Yeah, it's funny seeing how well it solves that. You know, we flailed around with it, and that was honestly, that was, you know, there's a lot of things that only you realize are complicated once you get into them, but that whole kind of authenticated, segmented user information and handling login and all that kind of stuff, it's like, it is more complicated than it first sounds. So they've really handled that in a very smooth way. They made it very easy to, you know, person is authenticated in an application and you just, in a few lines of code, you say, store some information and you don't have to bother with like, oh, and make sure that it's for this person. And, you know, and on the server, you don't need to go in because you're not even having, you don't have to write any server code if you don't want to.
That's extraordinary, given how hard it was for it to be. It sounds like it would take less than a day to do it now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in fact, they have, if you go onto the, you go into the Azure portal and you say create a new mobile service, and they actually have links there that will have a download for an app, and it is already running. And it's a, I think they have Windows Phone and also Windows 8 app. And you can, you know, you immediately see them, you know, I mean, it's F5 and so you can start tweaking right from there.
Great. Great. And you, am I right that you were backstage, that you were involved with the keynote?
Yeah, I was a little bit. I was not, you know, one of the leads. So my group has like maybe 8 or 10 people on it, and they're very involved in writing and coordinating a lot of this, the keynote work, and the demos, and making sure things are, you know, thought through, and show off a lot of the features that, that are really important. So, I helped behind the scenes on several of the demos. And, you know, simple things like XAML styling on the Windows 8 app they showed. I flew in on Saturday before build and said, hey, I'm here to help. And they're like, yeah, could you, you know, how is it, how's your XAML skills? And so, I'm back there styling XAML on that. So that was actually one of the bigger things I helped with. And then some simple things like Azure Mobile Services allows you to paste in JavaScript scripts for server-side behavior, and so I wrote some bookmarklets that will would copy some code into the clipboard to make it easy to copy and paste that in. So, you know, just short little things that just kind of help things flow.
But you got to be in the back seeing some of the gears and levers that made the presentation go.
Oh, yeah, and it's fascinating back there. There's, you know, tons of computers and all the servers. You know, of course, on stage, there's just one nice little screen and one podium, and but all those computers have to run somewhere, and you need backups for all those computers, you know, because just random things happen. You get a bunch of people in a building all using the same internet, and, you know, Wi-Fi drops, or, you know, things happen. And so, you know, it's just important to have things thought through. And so there's a lot of people behind the scenes, you know, hunched over computer screens watching every mouse move and every keystroke.
It was pretty funny because the first day the Wi-Fi was really good, but then the second day it was like, gee, it's as if a whole lot of new devices came online. Oh yeah, they gave away.
Yeah, and that was you know, I talked to you before about this, but I got to help a little bit on Scott Guthrie's keynote. I got to participate a little bit in the planning and practicing on and rehearsing of that one, and there was a lot of concern over uploading the video. We knew the app was solid. We knew the Azure service behind it, the Azure Media Service that he was uploading to. We knew that was solid. But uploading a video over Wi-Fi during a conference, that is kind of dangerous.
Yeah, it sounds scary. Tell me about Azure Media Services.
Yeah, the idea there is, you know, it's another one of those things where it's like you can build a server and you can do all this stuff, but it's thankless work. And so the idea with mobile services is in an app or, you know, in the browser itself or however, you can upload a video file and they take care of converting it and hosting it.
So now, sorry, you said with mobile service, but you mean media service.
I mean media services.
Okay.
Yeah. So with media services, so you upload the video and then it'll convert it to different formats. So say, for instance, you want to make sure that, you know, you upload the video on a Windows 8 device, but you want to make sure it's viewable maybe, say, in Flash and Silverlight or on an iOS device or whatever. And so you pick the formats you'd like it converted to, and it automatically does that. And it also streams that, and it stands up smooth streaming server. So say, for instance, you want, you know, Silverlight smooth streaming. I upload a video from my random Windows 8 app or phone app or whatever, and it'll make sure that it's available for smooth streaming on devices that support it.
That's very cool. Okay, so we've got Azure Mobile Services, we've got Media Services. Are there any others that were significant that were talked about in Build?
Yeah, well, you know, they crammed a lot in. I think one other thing that was pretty neat was the idea of the store. So that is a way that you can go. They showed a few examples. I think they showed things like, you know, well, say there's other databases available with things like MongoDB or things like that. But there's also, I think they showed New Relic, which is a great app analytics system. So, so for a website, if you want to see, you know, how is my web application doing? Am I getting faults? Where is it spending a lot of time? What's the experience for people in different geographic regions? So it does all that. And so you pretty much, you know, inside a the Azure portal, you go in and you say add a new service, and then you say New Relic, and they actually have a free offering, and then they have some more paid offerings. So you just turn it on, and then all of a sudden all this stuff shows up in your app. So I think that's a pretty neat thing. Again, that's something that's kind of, you know, maybe a sleeper feature, but I think really has a lot of promise to it.
So give me an example of where you might use that.
Well, I mean, like I mentioned, MongoDB, there's all these things where it's like, they provide a lot of features for you in Azure, but, you know, they want to make it so that other providers can tack on other features.
I see.
So, yeah, so it's really kind of the idea where you can, you know, turn on things and you don't need to wait for Microsoft to provide them, but you don't need to also, you know, spin up a VM or run your own server to do that. And they also have a lot of different, like, little, you know, kind of smaller things. So, like, little plugins, they have SendGrid, which does email delivery, and kind of the idea of making sure that your web app wants to send emails to people and wants to make sure it doesn't end up in their spam folder. So that's a service that SendGrid provides.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's all these other little things like Microsoft Translator or Bing Search API. So stuff like, you know, if you want to offer translation or, you know, different little services verify that a mailing address is correct or phone number, it'll go through and do that. So it's stuff that you could do, but again, there's no real value in doing that, you know.
Yes, I just did an interview with someone on internationalization, and he was talking about Bing translation and how valuable that is.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I, you know, just as a side note, but I saw a Microsoft Research demo the other day where I forget who it was. It might have been Rick Rashid, but he was speaking in English, and it was translating to Chinese live while he did it, which is pretty cool. It was showing it on the screen, you know, Chinese characters as he spoke. And people said generally the translation was pretty good, you know. But then what was more interesting was it was actually saying it out loud in Chinese, and it was using his own vocal samples. So it, you know, it still sounded a little bit robotic, but it actually was using his voice speaking in Chinese as he spoke in English.
That's so great. We're getting to Babelfish.
Yeah. Now that's not available in Azure yet.
Okay.
Pretty neat.
Now you and Scott Hanselman did a presentation on sort of cutting edge ASP.NET or bleeding edge ASP.NET products.
Bleeding edge ASP.NET. So that was Scott Hunter, who is Scott Hanselman's boss. He contacted me on a, I don't know, Saturday night, if you know, month or so before build, and said, "Hey, you want to speak at build?" And I'm like, "Yeah, great." He's like, "Yeah, on a bunch of unreleased stuff that we don't really have documented yet." I was like, "Yes." It was really fun though, that, you know, month leading up to build, I was getting, you know, like nightly drops and you know, kind of preview demos and stuff, things that sometimes worked and sometimes didn't. Which I love that stuff anyway. So it was a lot of neat new features. A lot of them are rolled up in this ASP.NET. Oh, I'm going to say it wrong. ASP.NET Fall 2012 Update Build Preview. I think I got that right. So ASP.NET Fall 2012 Update has a bunch of neat features that are, they don't change ASP.NET or web API or any of that. They don't change any of the underlying bits. They just add templates on top of them or make it easier to do some cool stuff. So that was most of what the talk was about, was showing that off. And then we just thought it was fun because the talk was bleeding edge ASP.NET. We thought we'd just show off some other crazy stuff that may or may not work towards the end. And I went back and forth on how exactly to do that. And finally, I'm not sure how I talked Scott Hanselman into this, but actually it was, you know, the night before that I came up with exactly how I want to present this. We had just had a slide called "The Grand Finale of Fine and Wondrous Things." And so I just threw that up on the board, and then the two of us just bounced between our laptops, you know, for 2 minutes, 5 minutes here and there, and just tried to show off as many fun demos as we could.
So what kinds of stuff did you show?
Well, should I start with the that fall preview thing, or
sure,
do you want to?
Please.
Yeah. Okay. So in that preview, I showed I kind of conceptually a lot of the work for me was kind of like thinking of a conceptual model, how this fits together. So I started with new features for existing stuff. So first I looked at Web API and showed off some of the new things that are there. So they added some new things, like one is a API documentation. So after you install that fall preview thing, which I encourage people to do because it doesn't require any server installation, doesn't mess up your existing projects. It's just some new project templates. But when you do that and you create a new web API.
Wait, I'm going to interrupt you and tell me about what web API is briefly before you go on.
Yeah, great. Web API, it's a great way for creating HTTP services that run on .NET. So people have done that in a lot of different ways in the past. There were things like ASMEX and WCF, which kind of work, but they don't really fit into the web world all that well. And then there was a lot of people just kind of hand-rolled things in ASP.NET, especially with ASP.NET MVC. You can, if you want, you can return JSON or XML, but you're really kind of mixing paradigms a bit. You're using a system that was designed for interoperating with browsers and returning HTML and JavaScript and images and CSS, and all of a sudden you're saying, well, I'm going to do some services with this too. So Web API is a system that that is completely designed around HTTP, and actually the architect for it is Henrik Nielsen, who was one of the authors for the original HTTP spec. So it really, you know, so as an example, when you create a new Web API controller, you end up with methods in it that are called things like get, post, put, delete. And so it's you know, really focused on HTTP. And then one other thing that I, you know, show people when I'm trying to explain it is that your methods, say if you have a get method, I don't go in and, you know, say, okay, now return some XML or now return some JSON. I just return data. So I'll return a list of person objects, or I'll return a single person object. It serializes that into XML or JSON or other formats depending on what the browser requested. So it's a little hard to give an elevator speech for it, but I find that, you know, if you want to return data that will be consumed by code, not viewed by a person,
yes,
then that's when you want to look at Web API. And even data as in something that a JavaScript is, you know, method on the client is going to request and do something with and then show to a person, that's still data, and that's something that I would, you know, look at Web API for.
Okay, so that's the same use case that we would have described for WCF, only this is more consistent with web technology.
Exactly. Yeah, it's WCF was kind of it's this whole communication framework that you know can work with the web, but it also can do remoting, and it can do, you know, use all these different binary channels, and it was kind of this like one size fits all system. But I got frustrated with it anytime I wanted to use it in a production website, because I was like, how hard is this? I just wanted to return some data to some browsers. Can I do that, please?
Right. So I interrupted you to find out what Web API was, and you were in the middle of...
Yeah, well, I was... So Web API, they shipped with MVC 4, and you can use it separately, but it kind of goes really well with MVC 4. So then what they've added for this fall preview or fall update preview is a few things. One is help documentation or API documentation. So when you do file new project, up in the header, you get this little link that says API. And when you click on it, it'll show you here's all your API controllers and here's all the methods they support. So if you've done things like, gosh, it's a long time ago, but ASMEX, I think they did some service descriptions like where you could browse through them. So it's kind of like that, where you can kind of browse through and you can say, okay, I've got a person controller and it has get, put, delete. And if you click on the, you know, get method, it'll show you what kind of data you're going to get back from it. Yeah. And that's all done using a, templated system that's all kind of standard MVC. So you can go in and tweak it and change it. Another thing I showed with Web API is tracing. So it hooks into the standard output trace, and it gives a lot of information. And that's useful because it can be a little... Web API is built with this whole system where you can hook in handlers, and you can, you know, there's it cares about what HTTP headers it gets and returns different information based on that. So it can be, it's really powerful, but it can be hard to debug. And so they added in tracing, and it uses, you can see it in the output window because it's just the standard debug tracing, but you can also hook other tracing, you know, any other standard .NET trace handler will also see that.
So let me ask you a couple idiot questions. And the first one, the key one for me is, there are people who are building web applications or websites, and so they're going to use, presumably, or one thing they certainly could use is ASP.NET MVC, and they could use a lot of these associated technologies. But then there are folks who are building clients, and let's say as strong as Windows 8 store applications that are not in any way a web application. They're just, you know, going to be in the store, but they want to talk to a back-end server. One of the technologies that you mentioned that clearly would be useful would be the Azure mobile web services. Are any of these other services useful to somebody who's building a client application, or are they really targeted at people who are building web applications?
No, I would say pretty much all of them are designed to work well as just services, app services. So like Azure Media Services, the demo that Scott Guthrie showed was with, it was a Windows 8 client. And I mean, there's things like blob storage and database storage. All those things are kind of designed as something that there's no real, it's hosted on a web server somewhere, but it would work just as well, you know, with any kind of client.
Okay, then let me take it down even one notch further, which is, if I'm building a Windows 8 application, and yes, I am a little bit obsessed with Windows 8 these days, but sure. but that's a good use case because it's so clearly not building a web application. And so if I'm doing that and I want to have data, and I want to be able to store that data, and I want to be able to pre-populate that data, I want to be able to interact with that data, a while ago, what I would have done would be to create a SQL Server database. And then sometime after that, what I would have done is used Entity Framework. And then sometime after that, what I would have done is used Code First Entity Framework. So what would be the recommendation today for a good, easy way to store data and interact with data from a client like that?
I would start by looking at mobile services for any of those kind of simple data storage needs, because it's just such a lightweight way of doing that. If that is not going to work for you, and I would guess in very many cases it would, but if you need more control or you want to write your own custom service, then what I would probably do is use Web API, just, you know, standard ASP.NET, you know, like in Visual Studio, create a new MVC4 app, make it a Web API template, and write a service, and then deploy it. And I would start by using websites. Azure Websites Hosting, which is kind of it's a lightweight shared hosting model, and they have free hosting options. So that's where I would start with.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. We haven't really talked about Azure Websites, but why don't we talk about that for a minute? But in a minute. But the first question is, if you decided, well, I don't need that much control, and mobile services is going to do it for me, then I don't need ASP websites. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. Mobile services is a whole, like, it's a hosted system. It actually technically behind the scenes is running on the same infrastructure as websites, as okay. Azure Websites.
Yep. And so tell me, what's the elevator explanation of websites?
Azure Websites is the idea that it's kind of, you can think of it a bit like shared hosting. So, you know, if you built, you know, you've got your blog hosted somewhere, or, you know, any old website, you want to host it somewhere, and you can, if you want to control everything, you run your own server. But then if you don't really want to be in the running your own server game, you know, some people stand up a virtual machine, but even that's a little bit more control than you really need. Really, all you need is a place to upload your code to on a web server and make sure it's going to stay up, you know, and if the server crashes in the middle of the night, someone else's alarm goes off to fix it, right? So what websites does is that kind of really simple thing, and it's very inexpensive, including free for up to 10 sites, and you can publish to it directly from inside of Visual Studio. You can upload to it from FTP. You could even run like PHP or classic ASP using websites. Like literally, you can just FTP up some classic ASP and it'll work. So yeah, that's kind of the general idea. And then what's nice with that is it's very lightweight for getting started. You know, build an app in ASP.NET, sign up for a free site, click publish, and it's up. And like literally, I think we looked at this the other day. I showed you this in like maybe 5 minutes from file new project to site running, you know,
yep.
On the public web. But then you can also go in and scale it up. So that's kind of the, you know, why is this different than GoDaddy or anything else? You know, reason is that then you can go into Azure Websites and you can click on the scale tab and you say, for whatever reason, you know, my site just got really popular or whatever it is, and you scale it up and you can say, I would like 3 servers or I'd like 100 servers, and, you know, only pay for that when you need it. And when you're down, when that demand drops, which is a key thing I think people don't think about. People always think about like, well, when I scale up, I can scale up, but it's also nice that you can scale down when that demand drops and not keep paying for all those servers, right?
Yep.
So anyhow, then you just move a slider and then you're done. You know, then you move it down to 1 server or back down to free.
And good grief, how does anybody keep all of this straight in their head and figure out what services to use and what are the resources that are available for figuring this out and for figuring out how to actually use them?
Yeah, well, we've jumped between a few things. I mean, for Windows Azure, I would go to windowsazure.com. And I do think they've done a pretty good job there. They've got a lot of different, they've got it broken out, develop, manage, store, things like that. But if you go into develop, they've got it broken into mobile or .NET or Node.js. And so you can say, okay, for mobile, if you click on that, they kind of have some good information there for tutorials and walkthroughs and things. So yeah, there is a good amount here. I will tell you that when I first joined the Azure group, I was really worried that I was going to be way over my head with all these different services and cloud storage. And I haven't even gotten into, like, there are a lot of cloud services that I am not all that good with, you know. But as far as I think websites is very easy to get started with as simple hosting. Media services is, you know, if you're storing video, and then mobile services is kind of, I like to think of it as it like a very lightweight database that, you know, that can work with authenticated users, so individual clients.
Yes.
Yeah. So you know what?
Go ahead.
We didn't even get into, I only talked about the very beginning of my talk with Hanselman. Did you want to?
Yes, please. Let's go back and talk about what else you covered.
Yeah, well, okay, so let me run through maybe at a higher speed. So I talked about Web API and a few features there. With MVC, one of the things they added in was the ability to do authentication using Azure. So back to Azure again very briefly. But the idea is in MVC, you can create different types of application. You can do an internet app or an intranet app or different types. Intranet app in the past has required you to have your own, like it only worked in a local network that had Active Directory set up. And with this, they've made it so that you can actually authenticate using Office 365. So what's kind of cool there is I can create an intranet app, I can publish it, and then I could have a small team that's using Office 365, 3 or 5 people or whatever, and now we can all log into that app, published on the public internet, and you know, people are able to get to it using that without having to be all like VPN'd in somewhere. And then another thing I showed off there in that new features for existing stuff bit is SignalR. And SignalR is a way of doing real-time communications. So like servers talking to clients you can think the very simple case is like a chat application, but we showed off also like a video game. So that's now included, that's shipped. It's graduated kind of from a open source project to being, you know, built into ASP.NET now.
Now, explain a little bit more about that. What is that?
SignalR is a way of doing constant communication between client and server. So normally, clients request something from a server, server gives them a response, and then, you know, maybe later the server says, oh, wait, there's some more I'd like to tell that client, but he's already gone.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think of something like a chat, you know, you've got 20 people connected and they're all pushing information up to the server, and then the server is pushing information to those clients. And a long time ago, people solved that using what's called long polling. So clients would request from the server and they'd just keep the connection open. The server would keep the connection open for a long time, saying, yeah, maybe I'll tell you something, I'm not sure. But it's really inefficient. It doesn't scale well at all on the server because they've got all these connections open to all these different clients. Over time, they've added other things in like WebSockets. The real value of what SignalR does is it uses the best technology that the client and server can support. So it handles all that handshake stuff. So if the client and server can both support WebSockets, which is the most modern way of doing this nowadays, then it'll use that. If not, it drops back all the way to things that'll work on IE6. So that's pretty slick.
Yes.
So that kind of wraps up the new features for existing stuff. Then I showed also a couple of new templates. So the ones I showed were a Facebook app template and a single page application.
Let's take those one at a time. Why does Microsoft have a Facebook app template for Visual Studio?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think Facebook apps are cool. They are actually kind of useful. Like if you are on Facebook, then there's a lot of valuable information there. Who your friends are, what their interests are, what they like, what you like, who they're connected to, all that kind of stuff. I showed an example here of a birthday manager app. And it's an ASP.NET MVC 4 app that's built using this template. And then it showed all my friends with upcoming birthdays and then if I click on buy them a present, it looks at things that they've liked on Facebook and recommends presents.
And actually
click through, you know, my wife had a birthday right around this time and I clicked on there and there were some actually decent suggestions like bands she'd liked. It recommended some CDs for them and stuff like that. And I talked to the guy that built this little prototype and he's a dev on the ASP.NET team. He said it took him about a day. So I think that the value here is that like this Facebook app template is in the past to build a Facebook app takes some work. Like you've got to go under, there's a NuGet package that kind of makes it easier, but you still need to understand a lot of stuff. This app template makes it easier to just kind of create an application that takes advantage of all this Facebook stuff. And it's kind of a no-brainer.
That's very cool. Okay, so yeah. That was one, was the Facebook template. And what was the second template? The
second one is single page application. So you can think of a single page application, you know, the most obvious is something like a mail app. So something like, Gmail or Outlook Web. So it's one of these web pages that you open up in the morning and it's running all day and you shut it down at night. And during the day, things keep updating and... So it's constantly communicating, things back and forth. And if I send a new email, it automatically is going to, update that in the page. So anyhow, that can be kind of complicated to do right. You've got to have all this JavaScript. It's communicating with servers. It's communicating with services. What they did with this single page application, they're using Knockout.js JavaScript library there, which I think we talked to, I forget if we talked to Steve Sanderson.
We definitely spoke about Knockout.js in any case.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a nice client side technology. And then on the back end, it's using web API. So that single page application is kind of a nice,
But I've been struggling to understand the advantage to a single-page application because, as I understand it, it does what a multi-page application does, but instead of switching from one page to another, from one .aspx to a different .aspx, you stay on this one page and the pieces are swapped out. So what's the advantage to that?
Well, there's a few advantages. One is that it's lightweight in terms of client-server communication, because you're not doing a full request and getting back an entire page back. It's very lightweight. So if you get a new email, your email client only needs to add a tiny little thing to the screen to say, here's your new, you know, here's the subject line for your new email.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I shouldn't have to click a check email button that sends a request to the server. You know what I mean? It's kind of nice to for that communication to be like more real time.
Well, that's an interesting thing. I'm sorry, I want to just stop you right there. That you're saying that with a single page application, it's easier to be able to push information down to that page.
You know, that's an interesting thing. It's not actually technically, it's not using SignalR yet, which is full real time communication. So this is just kind of doing more polling.
Okay.
The page will check for, you know, is there something new, and it'll check on a regular basis. But that definitely does seem like a line that a lot of people are connecting. It's like, hey, could it be real time? You know, so but the idea is just is kind of more interactive. And I was talking to Ward Bell the other day about this, and he was saying you could do. Think about this in terms of like a line of business application, right? You've got somebody all day that's, you know, entering new widgets and things like that. And it's just kind of a lot. If you're, say you're going through and updating a grid, you know, do you want to fill out a grid and then click submit? And, you know, it's maybe a lot easier if you just think of it as it's an application. I think the idea too is, you know, if you think of it more as an application and less of a web page, then it kind of makes more sense. So, yeah. So, and then the architecture is that you're not doing full postbacks and, you know, saying, okay, the user has submitted something, let's figure out what it is, and then you create a bunch of HTML and send it down. This is more like you send down the initial page, and then from there on out, there are interactions, and then JavaScript posts back to the server and calls and makes little service requests, and then the service sends back a little data, and the page updates itself.
It's very cool.
Yep.
Was that the presentation, or did you guys have even more?
Oh, then we had some other random stuff we showed at the end, which I showed a demo with scaffolding, with the idea of, you know, making it easier to, we've had this scaffolding concept where you could say, I would like to create a new something or other, you know, a person controller in MVC, but it was only in some small places. And so I showed a prototype of scaffolding where they're kind of building a system where it would work with web forms or other things. We played with Web Essentials, which is this thing that Matt Christensen does. It's an extension that adds in all kinds of web editing goodness. So like, you know, cutting edge CSS, JavaScript, HTML editing and stuff.
So a serious question arises before we finish of are there developers who are not in Microsoft who have this clear in their heads and know, okay, this is what I want to build, so here's what's the latest technology, and here's where I go to get it? Or are people floundering trying to keep up with all of this and trying to figure out even, not even how the technology works, but which technology to go look at?
Yeah, I would say that there are a lot of both.
Okay.
I know that there are a lot of people, you know, and I regularly, like, I'll do presentations, and I'm all excited about what just came out last week or what I just read about or wrote about. And then I'll talk to people, and they're using technologies that are 3 years old, and they're pretty, you know, I mean, that's their world, and they need to know how to solve problems with them. And then I also, I'm on some internal email lists where, you know, people are asking questions. I'm having this problem in, you know, this web forms app, and this is what it's doing. So, I mean, I think that there's, you know, and people on the ASP.NET team really know that, and they understand that. They're so answering a lot of these questions day to day. So there are a lot of, and, you know, we know that there are a lot of people that are kind of, you know, not on the latest rev, and that's okay. I do think, you know, we try to explain what's going on, but there's just a lot of different problems that people need to solve in the web world. And so there are a lot of different solutions that, you know, people need to keep track of.
Yes.
And, you know, you did say, are there people that have this all together? Yeah, there are a lot of those too, because, you know, we have these, I'm on some insider email lists or, you know, on some phone calls and things where people review things with customers, and they are saying like, yeah, that's great, you did that, but that, you know, is 3 months old and people have moved on to this now, or, you know, or, you know, your security is okay here, but we'd really like to have client certificates, or, you know, just, and so there's a lot of, there's a high level of engagement in different areas, especially things like web API or, some of these, you know, the open source stack things, where there's a lot of back and forth with customers who, yep, they're up to date with what we've got and they want more.